Words of Life, 270. And how many of you know this and want to come up here and sing it with me? Look at all those hands up there. All right. How many of you don't think you know it?
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let them thy beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words. Of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Verse 2.
Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinless to the loving call, wonderful words of life.
Good evening. Welcome back. Thank you, Scott, for leading us in some singing. And as we sing praises to our worthy Savior, we're thankful for the Chambers being here with us today. We're hearing a little bit more about their ministry update of what the Lord's been doing at their time and as missionaries, especially here lately. And looking forward to hearing stories about that and giving praise to the Lord for the way that He continues to use His faithful servants to spread the gospel to those who have not heard it. Also going to be a time of question and answer at some point. So be thinking of questions. I don't want you to be surprised by that and be scrambling to find a question, but be thinking of questions that you have for them at the end, and then we'll wrap up the service this evening with a short business meeting as well. So I got a lot to get to this evening. Couple of quick announcements. Reminder about Wednesday evening. We're looking forward to Fly continuing, and then also continuing in our series of Who Am I? We're looking at the word saint and what that means and how we are saints before the Lord because we are in Christ. And so looking forward to that. And then also coming up, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, women's prayer meeting will be happening. I believe that's the right date, but yeah, next Tuesday, women's prayer meeting happening here at the church, 7 o'clock. I believe that starts at that evening. There's a brochure about that on the foyer table. If you want to know more information, encourage the ladies, come out, spend some time praying, praying for the church and many other things there. Other things happening in the life of the church, make sure you're a part of that email announcements that go out regularly so you can mark your calendars, be a part of that. But I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll turn it over to Jim and Rachel, and look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on their hearts. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your amazing love and grace, and we thank you for the body of Christ and how we can come and gather together, that we can worship you, that we can encourage one another, that we can spur one another on with grace and truth from your word. And Lord, I pray that that would happen here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would be with Jim and Rachel as they present to us and telling your story about what you have been doing in and through them as missionaries, Lord. I pray that you would Just continue to be magnified through all that they do, Lord. I pray that we would walk away from here excited about how you are continuing to work in other places and around the world, and Lord, and as well as here. Lord, I pray that we'd all walk away asking the question, what is our part in seeing the gospel go forth, and that we would be committed to being ambassadors for you locally and worldwide. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, and we just give you all the honor and praise. Ask in your son's precious name. Amen.
It's nice to see all of you here, and thank you for coming. Even people that we didn't expect to see are here. And that's wonderful for us. We want to, in the end of our time, not just be available for questions, but to at least try to have answered what has been left behind in Zambia, to continue on in our absence, and to let you have an understanding of what we're looking for doing in the future. But to do that, we feel like we need to take you back to the beginning. Not all the way to the beginning. We just shared that with the youth downstairs. But the Lord did direct our steps to Zambia, and we were there for 32 and a, and I like to add on the half year, because it was 32 and a half years. But that was just the beginning of what God has been doing in our lives and over these years. And we'd like to just share with you, which one do I push? The right button. Okay. The fact that God called us to Zambia, and it was his work from the beginning, and the reality of it is that God enabled us to do the work that he sent us to do, and that's really what we want to proclaim to you tonight. Even as you see in this verse how Isaiah was talking about the fact that God called him and the Lord enabled him to do the things that he did. It was not just Rachel and I in the beginning. It was Rachel and I and our six children. But he did call us to Zambia, and in particular to the southern province of Zambia after we had been there for 10 and a half years in the capital city. And when we went to the southern province, we felt it important that we find a way to help the nationals to be able to carry on the ministry of establishing churches outside of the bounds of their church, and to have the means of doing so. That we're dealing with a very poor people who have very little means. And they just needed some guidance and direction and assistance. And so the Lord led us to start the mission, Evangelical Baptist Mission of Zambia in Zambia, for the people of Zambia to have the assistance that he wanted us to help them to have. And God made it possible for us to do that. Everything that we were able to accomplish in Zambia was because of the Lord calling us and doing it through us. And therefore, tonight, more than anything else, we want to give the glory to him that is due to him. He doesn't want his glory to go to us, and he doesn't want it to go to anybody else. It belongs to him. So that's our goal, is to give him the glory for that. Remembering the fact that without him, we couldn't have done anything. And so we share those things with you. In 2006, after being called from Lusaka, the capital city, 4.5 hours south to the they call it a city, we call it a town of Choma. What did we find when we got there? Well, we found a people who were very interested to hear the word of God, wanted to talk about it, were open about it. They'd heard a lot of things from God's word. They had questions they wanted us to answer. They wanted to debate with us in many cases, but the reality of it is we also found a lot of other things, particularly when the Lord directed our steps out into the bush.
We're just getting an overview, giving you an overview of what were the conditions that we were walking into. And what took us out to the bush was the salvation of a wife in polygamy who was born again and began sending Bible verses to her husband and the other three wives. And when they came into town and they came to our church, they were also the first wife and the husband were also saved. And then they said, you have to come out into the bush because there's no gospel for us out there. So when we went out there, it was 6.5 hours of a drive at that point because it was just log bridges and things and no civilization really. So we walked into some very deep poverty and scarcity of every form. These are actually a pair of school shoes from one of the kids. We found hunger and famine and sickness, and the farming was, the farmers were all very poor, and then they were poorer because of the huge families that they had with polygamy, with very few material possessions. And as you know, we had polygamous families and a lot of oppression among the women. So immediately we were beginning to see what the deep needs were out there. Sickness and death were common, and a lot of it was traumatic death, snakes and murders and a lot of trauma like that. And but most of all, spiritual famine and a very fruitless life. And so with rarely did you ever see a Bible in Tonga. We had a 98% illiteracy rate, so even if they had Bibles, nobody could read them. And so discipling and evangelizing was pretty new to Jim and I into how we would be going about that. The spiritual ignorance, I would just say briefly, is that when I went into the public school, the community schools, to share with the children about God, about Christ, I began with creation. I got to the point of saying, did you know that God had a son? Nobody knew that God actually had a son. When I asked, did you know God had a son? I explained that we were getting ready for Christmas. And I said, do you know who Jesus, we talked about it being Jesus, and who his mother was. And no one knew the mother of Jesus. And so I was trying to give them little leads and things like that. So one kid pops up and try me. And he goes, Moses. So he only knew one Bible name. And that was because he was in a cult that was all Old Testament, the law of Moses. And so another kid says, fuba, you fool. That's a man and he can't be a woman. He can't be a mother. Sorry, we should let them know that here in the United States. So where we began, it was with prayer. And this is where you guys helped us by praying for us and our churches praying for us. And this is where the beginning of everything was, showing complete and utter dependence upon the Lord, because he's the one who does everything exceeding and abundantly, more than we ask or think. As our rope holders, we wanted to be sure and express a deep appreciation for not just sending us in the sense of financing our ability to stay there and to minister to people, but mostly in prayer as well.
One of the really important things that you have to understand about Zambian culture would probably be the same in some respects here in the United States, and that is what I experienced with my neighbor two or three houses down the road from me several years back before we went to Zambia. He had on his gate no trespassing. And we were out in an area where we were all neighbors and we really enjoyed one another. And I went up to his door to invite him to let his children come to vacation Bible school at Grace Baptist. And he told me in no uncertain terms that I was trespassing and I needed to get off of his property. Well, you see pictures here of the chiefs and one of the headmen, the senior headman, in the area that we went to. We didn't have the privilege of just walking in there and taking the message of the gospel without their permission, particularly the chiefs. But the people that the chief appoints for us to reach the people where they're at are the headmen. And there's a senior headman, and then there are several headmen underneath of him. And that man in the middle became a really valuable friend to us. He was a believer before we ever got there, with a different denomination. But we wouldn't say everybody in that denomination is even a believer, but he was. And he lived it by the way that he treated us and treated others around him. And Senior Headman Maloa, we spent some time with him even before we left. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But the chief in the area there was Chief Shizongo. Chief Shizongo told us that I'll give you land. Well, let me tell you something quickly. The Lord prepared him to be our friend as well. Before he was chief, he was a headman in our area where Mr. Mabola and his wife invited us to. And we took clothes that had been donated around and gave them to people that where we saw who had needs. And just by chance, somebody said, take something to this house. And it was Chief Shizongo's house. He wasn't chief at the time. And we gave him a suit coat. And he remembered that. And then the other chief died, and he was selected by the family to become the next chief. And when we went out to his area of the country, he gave us permission to be there. He gave us property and said we could develop that for the sake of ministry to his people. And he would give us protection if we stayed there and stayed underneath of his authority. We could have gotten the government involved and had the land surveyed and put it into the name of the mission. But he said, if you do that, then you're on your own. I can't protect you anymore, but I will protect you if you stay underneath my authority. And he did that all of the years. And I'll tell you one way that he did it. As soon as we had gotten out into the bush, we shared the gospel house to house, and we used a tract. We thought we were doing the right thing because the tract included the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for our sins. But the people took that tract and said we were Satanists because we were going around spreading news about the blood. And honoring the blood of Jesus Christ. So they went to the chief and said, you need to get rid of these people because they don't belong here. And they're just here to take the gems out of the ground and make themselves rich. They don't care about us. I had asked a question about having somebody hand dig a well for us. And they used that as proof that we were trying to just mine their gems. And the chief listened to them all and they said, we need to vote on this. And they did their vote and most of them voted against us to stay. And then the chief started talking. And he said, I'm the chief and I decide who stays and who doesn't. And he said, these people are able to stay here. They are our friends. And that was basically based on the fact that we had taken the time to stop at his house and share something with him that he didn't even know us, we didn't know him, and yet he remembered that. So that's the kind of thing that is necessary for the sake of the ministry to be able to occur in Nambaza, the area that we first went to there in his territory. Then there was another chief that we went to, and we were in his territory at the end of our time in Zambia, and that's Chief Shiachitema. And we'll tell you more about him later on, but the same kind of process has to occur there. And he gave us land, an old tobacco warehouse location. Tobacco was a big product that people grew in Zambia. And this place had been closed down many years before. The buildings were dilapidated. Roofing sheets had been stolen off of most of the buildings. And he said, you can develop that. And if you do so, you can just have the property. We didn't have to do anything special to get it. But we did have to do quite a lot of work to keep it and to make it useful. And we'll talk more about that tonight. But relationships are huge. And, you know, God says if we knew the thief was coming, we would arm ourselves and protect our property. Well, that's pretty much what the chief and the headmen do. And you have to have a good relationship with them in order to keep it up. Long explanation, but really helpful, because that's how we had to begin the ministry out in the bush. And then one of the primary things we had to do in the beginning was to take something that would be a draw to the people. Now, I already talked about sharing the gospel and using the tract. It probably didn't gain our approach. The approach wasn't probably wonderful to most of the people that didn't want us there. But in the process, then we had the privilege of sharing the Jesus video. That was the first time I'd ever seen that many people stand up to want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We just were excited by what the Lord did through the use of that. And then we got to go into home visitation mode after these people professed to want to receive Christ. And so people went out and shared the gospel. Nationals went with us. There was 15 of us or 18 of us in that first group, 15 nationals. We had taught them in Choma how to share the gospel that they themselves had received. And so they went out and they shared it in the homes. And some people professed to receive Christ. And one by one, many of them came together. And so the church began to be in existence there in Zambia, at least one that we were familiar with because we were involved in the process. But once you have a church, then you need to have leadership that is first, it was us, the missionaries. And we had the privilege of leading them, but we can only do so much as missionaries. We're foreigners. The people look at us and say, you're really important to us. But too many times, like I said this morning, they're looking at us for what we can do for them, how we can improve them financially or some other way. But the reality of it is that if you can bring in a national leader who is truly born again and who cares for them spiritually, they can't pull the wool over their eyes nearly as much as they do ours. And they are able to accomplish much more in the people's lives on a personal basis than we can many times. And so the Lord brought some of these people into his kingdom through the message of the gospel. And you can even see Mr. Moono there in his blue jacket. And next to him is the evangelist by the name of George. And Mr. Moono witnessed to George who then became a believer, and you couldn't stop him. He just went constantly out into the areas around them and shared the gospel. But it was a real blessing to see the Lord working through these people that the Lord brought along. And they're still all working in Zambia and in Nambaza or in Njenjema. And we are privileged to have the opportunity to have worked with all of them. I'm going to let my wife take over here.
We were seeing the youth were needing to have direction and not to start late. And so we got pastors to cooperate with our ideas, and we wanted to start to develop missionaries from the youth up. So the pastors had to give recommendation. We started with 10 youth who were serious about Christ and who were serious about the church. And we said, MAP stands for Missionary Apprentice Partners. And so wherever we go, you'll go. And so our mappers, some fell off, but we still have mappers that are there. And these two in particular, I've chose their pictures because they are presenting themselves for full-time ministry, David and Buela and Martha Telema. And she's preparing to be a teacher. I'm hoping and praying she'll come back and become a full-time teacher at the learning centers where we are. David is planning to go into missions or teach in the seminary there. And then do you want me to do that?
No, let me take it. What you see here is the is what a building looks like that the Nationals can build out in the bush. So when we first started ministry there, we'd been to Mr. Mabola's. We'd been in the area and shared the gospel. We had the property given to us by the chief. And before we returned back after going back to Choma, they told us that they were building a church. And when we got there, we found a building like this. This isn't the exact building, but every church that we started, the people were able to build a building like this. It's just logs with a thatched roof, and gets a little wet in the rainy season because you can see it has holes in it, but it does shelter them well. While we were involved in ministry to help them, and also with respect to the learning centers that my wife established, we were able to, with the help of many of you as donors, provide assistance to them to build building like that. And so they could have classrooms there for the teachers to teach in, but it also became their church building that they could use. And you'll see that there are three buildings right here that became churches first, and then after some time we were able to build buildings like this that they could then meet in as churches and then use them for schools if they asked to have a school in that area. About $20,000. Yeah. The roof structure is the most expensive part of the building. They can make the bricks, but the roof structure has to come from Choma. So again, that's going out into the bush, has to be transported, purchased in Choma. It's about right. But they themselves then, under the leadership of the one whose name you saw was Decision Siampongo, made bricks with the intention to build another classroom structure like that so that they could increase the number of students who were attending and have a greater outreach into the community there. And it's a blessing to see someone like Decision who is leading the people forward to say, we don't have to depend on the missionary to do everything. We can do it ourselves. And they do what they can. They dig anthills, termite mounds that have the glue that a termite produces, and that ground is very sticky. They put water with it. They tread it like you can picture somebody treading a wine press, walking in it. But that's what they do. And then they put it into forms and dry it, and then they bake it using stacking the bricks up and putting logs inside of the tunnels that they make, and really holds up quite well if done properly. In the process, though, these pastors particularly, or one of them is Decision right there in the front middle, but they have been given the opportunity to go to attend classes in Choma, 3.5 hours away from where Decision is in the bush. But the Lord has given them opportunity to be trained by teams from Central African Baptist University that come down from the northern part of Zambia to the area where we're at in Choma. And they hold classes, and they're teaching them theology and other aspects of what a pastor needs to know, a leader needs to know to be involved in the work of the churches. And these ones all have attended and got their certificates for what they learned that time around. New believers then are in the beginning. We didn't even have water close enough to us to be able to have baptisms. But here you find that they baptize wherever they can find a place. And this is what's going on. They're making the efforts to do that. They're building some places that they can put a small amount of water in. It's not much bigger than a coffin, really, to be honest with you. But they're holding baptisms now, and they're doing that themselves. And the Lord's blessing the ministry as people come to know Christ as their Savior and are baptized. But then there's the learning centers, and I'll let Rach take it from there.
We had so many challenges in trying to do church planting among polygamists, which were 98% polygamy. And so when the Bible says that you cannot have a pastor who is a husband of more than one wife, you can't have deacons that have more than one wife, and 98% of the entire population is more than one wife. So I came to the realization that we really needed to see the next generation church be brought up so that polygamy was prevented and eventually wean that out of the whole area. So we have currently 4 learning centers. You only see the sign here for 3. But we do have 4 learning centers which are active. And the one where the flag is flying, they're running about 150 students. 140 to 150 students, and the other churches as well. What it required when I was out there was teacher training. They do not have any of that right now. We are planning on going back once a year for teacher enrichment and other projects that the churches may want us to do that would help the furtherance of the gospel. And so forth. So these are some of the teachers that I trained out of the churches to, if they could read Tonga. Most of them did not speak very good English. We are now developing at the point where our schools are teaching both Tonga literacy and English literacy. But choosing and finding teachers was a challenge because none of them were actually vocational teachers. So, it took years where I felt like I was standing around watching the grass grow, and you didn't think that you really saw too much growth, and yet over the years and because of the Holy Spirit, and God is the one who makes things increase, it actually came to be that we have some teachers now who are affecting the children for eternity. In our learning centers, they are memorizing and learning God's Word every single day. They have classroom when they line up for their what they call morning parade. They memorize passages of Scripture. They can earn their own Bibles, which is very impressive when they are not able to own much of anything. Most of the children will own maybe two or three garments and maybe a pair of flip-flops. So when they can earn their own Bible, they're thrilled about that. Does this have the sound to it? Okay. There's no sound. So the scripture goes home to the parents, and that's one of the ways that we were able to get into homes, was through the children. So, they have Bible class each morning in our old tent where we used to live. That once they learn, we did a whole 2 months on the tabernacle and the pictures that is, comparing it to Jesus. And once they learned that tabernacle meant tent, then they now had their own tabernacle. The children are genuinely interested in things. They are not spoiled by screen time and television and things like that. So they have a very good attention span. We have Child Evangelism Fellowship Clubs in the Deep Bush in Nambaza, where we have trained CEF teachers, and I'm using CEF materials for their Bible classes as well. This is Mrs. Febi Muyehi, and she is a trained CEF teacher. She is the pastor's wife at one of the churches there. And so the children are learning to be the church at an early age. And is it literally because this is the Junjama church? It's literally because the children and their school and what they're learning that the parents are now coming and taking it seriously. Some of the children really only hear from home because they are handicapped. And this little boy is one that I've written about several times, Lloyd, who was, at that picture time, was 9 years old, and he was about this long, hydrocephalic child. These are the cerebral palsy children that I've talked about, who they're grown children, but that was a very desperate family, and a lot of suicide in the family because they assumed that the children had been bewitched and were cursed. And so going to them and giving them the gospel, the two most interested people in the entire family. Usually we would have up to 30 people come to listen to the Bible stories that we took to them. And this was my assistant who came with me, Florence. And she still goes and pays visits on in that home. So that work is continuing to go on. I only showed this picture because right in front of me, I'm the only vanilla person in that picture. And so the one that is right in front of me was the most severely autistic and completely antisocial, completely hostile. And in all of the maybe year and a half that we had been ministering to them, she wouldn't ever even come out of the hut to listen to the story or anything, but she would take one of the cookies that we left after we were gone. So in my last visit there, she came out. She had dressed herself to come out. None of them walk. They crawl on their hands and feet. But she came out to actually say goodbye to me. And she sat for a picture, and she let me touch her. So I felt like that was really something that the Lord gave me as a special gift. The Bibles, they are asking for more Bibles. We haven't purchased those yet. But if a family shows that they can now read because of our learning centers, they're allowed to earn a Bible by memorizing the Bible and showing that they'll be able to use it properly. So we do ask for prayer for intentional spread of the gospel through the children being reached and in their homes by pastors and the teachers from the learning centers. And then the infrastructure is Jim.
Yeah, just quickly, these are not all of the buildings that I was involved in constructing, but many buildings that are necessary for the carrying on of the work of the ministry, particularly when you're talking about schools. You don't you're not able to carry on schools when the rainy season's there if you don't have a structure to be able to keep the students dry. They already come to school wet many times. And one of the buildings here is a clinic that we were able to build out in the bush. The people worked together with us, made the bricks, did the work building the building, and that building is in existence today. The only problem is that the doctor who was supposed to be the administrator of that building and the ministry of to the people left Zambia and didn't come back, and so it we didn't have another doctor to take over, and so we turned it over to the government, and that's just the way it is. But it's still in existence, and it's being used for and the doctors, the chief medical officer in the area said, you can come and share the gospel anytime you want. So the people still have access as our ministry partners there to go and minister to the people who are there as patients. We put in water where they didn't have water. We were supposed to be able to drill our own wells when we got a well drilling machine, but it just sat for a year and a half or more waiting for the government to approve the use of it. And then after that was approved, then the husband, who was the wife of the medical doctor, left with her. And so we had to appeal to commercial well drillers to drill some wells so that they could get water where the people are. And this is one of the things that I was able to do, to put water into Jenjama for the learning center, to be able to be developed, as well as to keep the pigs with food and water gardens for the teachers. This is something that was able to be used in a great way to help the people. Then there's, you know, when you're dealing with people who are very poor, you're dealing with, you better have a lot of compassion because there's a lot of needs. I'll let Rach take over there.
Just real briefly, what is left there now, that's what we're going to focus on right now. Baptist Children, what used to be Baptist Children's Home, but BCH, is there in partnership with us. And they have about 15 orphans that are, we start with the church and the church's own vulnerables, and then it keeps it within the membership of the church and the development, so that the church is responsible to help with that spiritual oversight. These are the town orphans that are being supported. We helped them to learn to read because they all came to us illiterate. And but their grandmothers are the ones. This is the bush orphans that are being gathered periodically. Whenever we can send something out to feed them, the pastor whose wife does the Children Evangelism Fellowship lessons, they feed them something special. And occasionally when we give them something, then they give them some shoes or blankets. Also, you all know that we had famine for 3 years in a row. And so many of the churches donated to have a feeding program, and this is the children, and the parents really were the most responsive because they were concerned about their children starving to death. This is the widows, the moms who have orphans, that extended family orphans that are part of one of our churches, and so they are the ones that are the most helped then by BCH, and BCH built that building right there for a family, and then this was a renovation in one of the homes. And like I said, it's very natural. It's not like we put them in a five-star type of home just because it's sponsored. It's very much in the neighborhood and goes well with that. So the questions are often, what will you do? Will you return? And we're planning one trip a year, a minimum of one trip a year, when we'll be able to help. I will be doing more teacher training and helping the schools to try to advance and to make sure they're on task with the gospel and their Bible presentations. And the other things that we will be doing is whatever the national pastors and churches decide would be helpful for the ongoing use of the either buildings or for Jim to help with some of those oversights and just giving them advice, or also for me. I've been asked to do women's conferences. And so whatever they ask us to do is what we would like to be available to do. And then there are future projects. Right now, we've sent out a bit of money for the church in Janjema. It has been overstuffed ever since we left. So it was it's a room about, what's the dimensions of that room? It was our largest classroom that we had for school. And we were stuffing 120 people into it. And I mean the word stuff. And Africans, we stack them high, you know, too, just to get everybody in. So they have built this far, and now they're just waiting for money to put a roof on. And then we had left them with a piggery so that they would be able to have teacher stipends. That has not gone well because of theft and things that Jim mentioned this morning. So the teachers at that school have been paid a total since January of $16.88. They are working on nothing, and they're still ministering faithfully. So we are praying that we can get more self-sustaining industry there.
When we were in Zambia, in Choma, the last time we were there in November of last year, we had already made a plan that everything in the houses that we owned as a mission for ministry purposes in Kamunza, which is right next, just a suburb of Choma, we had they had agreed that they would buy the houses, or not the houses, they would buy everything that was in the houses. We were going to give them the structures to be able to carry on ministry. It's an organization from here in the United States that wasn't registered in Zambia yet, and they could benefit by being registered in Zambia and be able to produce work permits, get work permits from the government. It was just a good thing. Except for 3 days before we were to leave, they said, by the way, the things that we said we were going to buy, we're not going to buy. So we had four houses full of furniture and goods that we could have been selling all along, and we weren't able to do that in 3 days. We sold some, quite a lot, really, from the house that we were living in. And then they came back and said, well, we want the big generator and the large table that you have for conference purposes. We'll take that. We'll take those two things. And so I took everything I could that we couldn't sell that in that short of a period of time, and I put it in that container. It's a 40-foot container, and it's waiting for us to return to sell it off. The well drilling machine is sitting in storage in Zambia. It's never been used one day to drill a well in Zambia. And the one who was supposed to be overseeing the use of that left Zambia and hasn't agreed to return anymore. Our vehicle was purchased with money that was donated by Grace Baptist of Cedarville when all of our vehicles had broken down and or been destroyed in car accidents. And now it's sitting in storage in Livingston waiting for us to return and or be sold by the person who's overseeing that. So these things have to be taken care of for us to effectively be able to close out the need for us to be in Zambia, with the exception of what Rachel has already shared about the desire to go back. But we're confident, as the verse says here, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, using the nationals as they carry on the work of the ministry. And we're really privileged to know that the Lord, through Jesus Christ, said that Satan isn't going to overcome his church. We want to say thank you for what God has done through you and on our behalf in Zambia, and for your prayers over the years. We covet them still. We've come back not to sit around and put our feet up, and we still have life in these bodies. Sometimes we wonder how much we have in them, but the reality of it is that God's given us an outlook in the city of London, Ohio, with a ministry called LifeWise Academy. And LifeWise Academy is going into schools, offering a recess time for students to be able to be picked up, transported to a church in London, where they are able to sit according to their grade levels in a short Bible study time, with the material being the Gospel Project literature that is copyrighted for their use and is very effective in sharing the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. And Rachel's applied to be a teacher for them, with the goal of also being able to move the ministry from elementary into the middle school next year, carrying it on into that level. That's something that we have felt that the Lord would allow us to do if he would. We've moved our membership. We are in the process of moving our membership from Grace Baptist in Cedarville to Grace Baptist in London, Ohio, with Pastor Dwayne Hill, who has been the pastor there for more than 25 years. And to be able to come alongside of that church and to help them, hopefully doing visitations in the homes of the students that attend. And it's already growing, we've been told, even though they just started in September. The fifth grade level has already doubled in the attendance levels, and they want Rachel to take one of the sections of kids and carry that on in fifth grade. But we're just trusting the Lord that He will do that ministry and use us to continue on building His church here in the United States, as well as continuing to help the people in Zambia. And got a whole minute left, Pastor, on my watch. But this one says we have six. Any questions that you might want to have us try and answer? Our kids did really well in Zambia. Nathan and Anne, our two oldest, only were there for 2 years on a full-time basis. They're both in the pastoral levels, Anne being a pastor's wife and Nathan being a pastor here in the United States. But they've had real interest and encouragement been shown to us in the ministry in Zambia. Anne always had it as her desire to graduate college and go into missions again. And so did her husband that she married. But the Lord directed their steps to become the pastors of a church that they helped plant when they were at Baptist Bible College in Pennsylvania. And so they've been carrying that on for 26 years now, on that level. Our daughter Megan was our best missionary, to be honest with you. She didn't really want to go to Zambia when we talked about it as a family in the beginning, because she was going to leave her best friends. And she had two really close friends, and she just did everything with them, and she cried. But she went to Zambia and took up the task of making more friends, and she would sit on the wall with one of them, and he would teach her Tonga, or teach her Nyanja, and she would teach him English. And they became fast friends, and she made many other friends, and was our best missionary as far as reaching out to the people of Zambia as a child. And then she's now married to a young man who is Honduran, who she met at Bible school here in the United States, and they are missionaries to his people in Honduras with four of our grandchildren. Two of them actually are here in the United States now and trying to establish themselves in jobs that they have here. And so we're excited to have them a little bit closer. We can get to them a little easier than Honduras. But then there's Micah, who is... he was probably the least interested to stay in Zambia as one of our children. And yet the Lord is using him in a mighty way in the government of the United States. He's a director of legislative affairs for Kevin Cramer, who's a senator from North Dakota, and serves the Lord. He's unmarried and is used as a believer, working for a believer. Kevin Cramer is a believer, and the Lord's using him in a wonderful way. And in particular, from our perspective, he's what an uncle is to every what we want every grandchild to know of what an uncle is like. he just cares for all of the grandkids as an uncle, and loves the Lord and wants to serve him. But then Mary and Rebecca spent the most time being raised in Zambia, and Mary and her husband, after they graduated from Moody Bible Institute, were intent on becoming missionaries. But the Lord just never opened the door for that to happen for them. So they're living in the area of Anderson, Indiana, have three boys, and they're involved in their church there and in raising the boys. And then our youngest, Rebecca, is in Florida. She is teaching in Trinity Baptist College Bible School, where she teaches English and composition, and she just had her second child, our last number 19 grandchild, and she and her husband are living there in Jacksonville, Florida, serving the Lord there. That's six. Thank you for asking, though. We always had it in our minds that we would love to have one of our children come and take over for us. But the Lord didn't have that in mind. So we trust him. Yeah. Yes, there are. Well, we took the one with us who knew that language, where we were going. And if we were to be traveling like several other missionaries that we knew from one location to another, sharing the gospel that way and establishing preaching points, then we would need others who could do that, and you'd have to carry them with you. But you make a plan as to where you're going, and And you make sure you have people who can speak the language. A lot of them can speak more than one language. And so that's just what you do. But that's how we worked it out. Good question. Then you get to people like the chief who likes to speak in another language that nobody knows. Not even your translator. But that's how he shows his position. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor. And thank you as a church again. We were blessed. And we still are by you.
What a blessing it's been to hear this report. And we want to pray for you now. And Gary, would you lead us?
Yeah. Sure. We love you guys.
I can hug them because I'm over there.
We met over 50 years ago at Cedarville. And we've had a partnership working there at Cedarville together and in different ministries throughout all these years. And I'm just so thankful for the ministry that you guys have had and your faithfulness. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, we just thank you that we can come into your presence and that we know that you love us and that you care for us. And we've prayed much for Jim and Rachel. We just thank you for the ministry that you called them to and their dedication and the way that you protected them and that you have given them a great ministry. We just pray that that ministry might continue on and that people will be continually saved. We just know that you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. Help us that we might even consider tonight of how that you can use us in different places in the world to further your gospel and to share Christ with people we come in contact with. We just thank you for being so kind to us. Thank you for their children and how it brings joy to us to hear about them loving the Lord and serving you in different areas. And we just are overwhelmed of your kindness. We just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you that it's new every morning and that you watch over us and care for us in ways that we don't even understand. We just thank you again for Jim and Rachel being with us this evening, and we just pray that you might just continue to bless them in this new ministry up at London, and that this will be a furtherance of the gospel there as well. We just pray that you might use each one of us in this room to be bold in sharing Christ with people we come in contact with. Help us that we might think on those things which are above, not on earthly things, but that we might just ever serve you. And we just thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus who laid down his life for us. Yes. Help us that we might share him with others we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I just share one more thing? Out here in the foyer is your little round pedestal table with our elephant on it. If you want to receive our prayer letters and you have never signed up for them, please take time to stop there. And there's a paper there that you can put your name and address, email address on, and we'll see that you get them. We're going to switch carriers because Google Groups has done us a great disservice over the recent years in eliminating people from our prayer group without us ever saying that they should be. So we're going to change the group to something that's more effective for us. But just wanted you to know that. And if you want to receive the prayer letter still, we'll continue that process. And then I also have for LifeWise the address that was asked of me, so come and see me up here. It's right here.
Thank you.
CMC, not Lifeway.
Well, special. Thank you so much. Yeah. And I want to say especially to our young people, pick the brains of our missionaries, because God's still doing a work, and he may want to use you in a cross-cultural ministry somewhere, and pick their brains. They would love to interact with you and share more about opportunities. So let's transition now. This is our month.